Thank you very much. I've got a noble assistant here. Thank you, Terry. I want to just briefly review the progress of the Fusarium wilt epidemic that we're experiencing in Australia at the moment. Next slide. Fusarium wilt is caused by Fusarium oxysporum vas infectum. We have our own unique strains in Australia that have appeared to have developed locally. Nematodes are not involved in the complex. Where conditions are favourable and the inoculum is high enough in patches, we find no survivors. No plants survive the infection. Next. Just by way of background, the disease was first recorded in Queensland in 92-93. 2 years later, in 94-95, we had our first record in the state of New South Wales. By 99-2000, widespread in two of our 10 production areas. By 2006-2007, widespread in seven of the 10 production areas. Next, please. In 2003, it was predicted that at the current rate of increase there, that the disease would be present on 90% of farms in New South Wales by 2010. Well, we haven't made it. Next. The epidemic has fallen over. You'll see since 2003, the rate of increase or increasing distribution has dropped off substantially. We currently have the disease on 82 farms in New South Wales. About 40% of the farms surveyed during annual disease surveys, the disease is present and the incidence remains low. We still find, though, that the incidence is the distribution is increasing, and every year there are two or three new farms where the disease is present. Why is this? Next. Why is this? Well, I guess one of the significant things is the adoption of more resistant varieties. Susceptible varieties are just not available anymore. The seed companies have moved to the highest levels of resistance available that they can get. Less favourable weather, drought, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Grower unwillingness to report may be an issue. Some farmers are becoming a bit blasé. The disease is widespread in some areas and they regard it as being present for the last 10 or 15 years and it's not such an issue anymore. And I guess the impact of better farm hygiene is significant. I mean, farmers are zealous in having their washdown pads and following the come clean, go clean strategy. Next. Now, I mentioned drought. This demonstrates the impact of drought. This is Australian cotton area over the last 10 years. You see, for the last 6 years, production has dropped significantly. Basically because of drought. Now, this last year, we're actually twice what the 2007 to 2008, so we've picked up a little bit, but drought's had a major impact. So when we talk about the state of the Fusarium wilt epidemic, drought is a significant factor. Next. What I want to really talk about is the use of Transex to monitor the change in disease incidence over time in individual fields. And I guess between us, different people researching cotton in Australia, we have 10 or 20 different transects that we're following, where we basically inspect 10 plants every 10th row across the field. We score on the presence or absence of the disease. We follow a set path across the field, specifying the start of that with GPS or with a tape measure. We do the assessment just prior to defoliation, or if it's a thick crop, just after defoliation. And we do it each season that cotton is grown. I'll run through a range of these. Something I've mentioned before, but I'll mention again for completeness. This is Northcote Field 14, where the disease was quite substantial. In 2001-2002, they flooded the field. And if we look at the first graph on the top right, you'll see that the disease was significantly reduced. It wasn't eliminated, but it was significantly reduced. Incidence about 0.8%. The following year, cotton again, 1.9%. The farmer then took the field out of production for a year, grew a barley fallow, came back in the following year with cotton. The fallow did nothing to reduce the build-up of the disease, 9.5%. The following 2 years, again, cotton grown both years. However, the impact of reduced water and limited irrigation, the incidence didn't increase, but you'll notice that the distribution has continued to expand. If we move to the next, this is Morella E2. This is the field where the disease was first found in New South Wales. It's a bit complicated looking at that. They've had 8 crops of cotton in the last 14 years. If we move to the next slide, we'll see that last year's count, but in the top right there is a summary of the 14 years. In the first year, the disease, 12.5% of plants affected in a susceptible variety. Farmer took the field out of production for 2 years, came back in year four with a resistant variety. Incidence reduced to about 3.5%. but with 3 years of continuous cotton had built back up to 13%. At that point, he'd decided to move to a one-year-in, one-year-out rotation, usually with a cereal fallow. The level was maintained over the next three or four crops at that at the 10%. This last season, with the cool conditions favourable, it's actually expanded to 19%. And if you look at the bottom graph, you'll see that the southern end of the field, the actual average incidence is closer to 40%, so it's increased dramatically this last season. Contrast that with this next field, at Theodore, where the disease was first found in 98-99. He's grown cotton every year. However, when he first found the disease in just a small patch, he set aside that patch. He prepared it last, he planted it last, he cultivated it last, he washed down his machinery from as soon as he worked in that area. He limited the irrigation water so that none ran out of that part of the field. He's used resistant varieties. You'll see that 7 years after the initial report of the disease, when we established the transect for the first time, we picked up one plant across the whole transect, 0.6%. We did it again 2 years later, one plant in the same spot. However, in this last year, it's increased tenfold, and it's now up to 6.7% in this last year, partly reflecting the cooler conditions. And maybe the farmer isn't as zealous now after 10 years as he was in the first 5 or 6 years. Contrast that with this field at St George, where the disease was picked up in just a small patch two or three seasons ago. This last season, he grew cotton again. And you'll see from the graph at the bottom that the disease is right across the whole field, 19% of plants affected. Why such a big increase? And this is rather a unique field because it has a little water storage right beside the field. So he waters the field with thorough irrigation, carefully collects the contaminated water from the bottom of the field, puts it back in the storage and uses that to water next time. And so in just 2 to 3 seasons, he's gone from next to nothing to close on 20% of plants affected. Move on to the next one. This is a farm, Mundine Field 10. When we first picked up the disease in 1997-98, it had obviously been there a few years. It was well established in the field. He grew cotton the following year, 98-99. The incidence went from 9% to 13%. He then had a year off with a rotation, came back in with cotton again, 18% continuing to build up. He then took it out, came back again with cotton again, 34%, so it's dramatic build-up. You'll notice it moving towards the left, and that reflects the direction of irrigation. As the irrigation water flows out the bottom, it flows off to the left to leave the field. And so you can see the disease filling in, particularly in that direction. And then all of a sudden, a three-year break, 3 years with no cotton at all. And then in 2005-2006, he grew cotton, but on the left half of the field, he grew Cycott F1, which is our most resistant variety. And you'll see that the incidence dropped right back to just over 5%. So the three-year no cotton plus resistant variety had a dramatic effect. We see a similar thing here with Altaringa Field C4. The disease in this field was so bad that he eventually excised part of the field and grew native timber because the disease was so severe. But we first did a transect in 97-98 with 20% of plants affected. Following year, came back in with cotton, 52% of plants affected. The following year, came back in with cotton. There's a bit of a drop off down to 41% of plants affected. They went through a couple of years of no cotton at all. 2003, 43% of plants affected. Another two or three year gap, and then look at that last year, 2005-2006. What happened? Well, he grew Cycott F1, the most resistant variety across the whole area. He used a Bion seed treatment, which had a definite impact. He used delayed sowing. He planted two or three weeks later than normal, and combined that with crop rotation, and he got a significant benefit. You might say, why isn't everyone growing Cycott F1? Well, I guess mainly because it's a conventional variety and everyone wants transgenic things these days. The other thing is that there's a yield drag associated with that variety. So farmers tend to go make a selection on yield potential rather than fusarium control potential. However, the breeders are coming through now with varieties that have similar or much better levels of resistance and with the transgenic characteristics as well. So in terms of summary, I guess the incidence is increasing. We're certainly finding more the disease is increasing in distribution. We're finding more fields. Despite the drought conditions, we're finding more fields affected each year. We have demonstrated that it's possible to make a difference in terms of control, but that has to be accepted by the growers in terms of yield potential or matching yield potential with disease resistance. While recognising that transects aren't replicated field experiments, we recognise they give us valuable information which helps us to know what questions to ask with our replicated field trial program. Thank you.
Questions?
From dealing with soybean rust in Georgia, our projection on how bad things could be has not been exactly right. And we have a troublesome time of keeping, maintaining grower vigilance. The fact that it's still continuing to spread, but not to the level that you thought it might, even the weather patterns, has it been difficult to keep grower vigilance, or they remain convinced that they need to do what they need to do?
So certainly grower attention has been drawn to more pressing problems, namely water. Growers are very flexible. They follow the fashion, and certainly water has taken the spotlight. I think, particularly in areas like the Darling Downs, where the disease is present on virtually every farm, farmers are becoming less vigilant. In the southern production areas, in those areas where the disease has not yet been reported, there certainly is a lot of consciousness about come clean, go clean. Picking contractors complain about how long it takes to clean down a picker before they move on to another farm. But I think once the dams are full and people return to full production, we'll see awareness increase again. I think people are aware of the problem, and it's just a matter of at times of severe drought after 6 years, you lose a bit of focus. That's great.
Obviously, as you grow more resistant cultivars, you see less symptoms and less incidents. What do you think is happening to the fusarium population in the soil and distribution?
Good question. We have actually set up an experiment. It was to be a long-term experiment. We ran it for 4 years, and on the fifth year, the farmer changed the row spacing on his equipment by an inch. He went from 39 inch to 40 inch, which completely upset the row placement across the whole trial. There were four row plots 80 metres long. So we only had 4 years of results, and we've started again with another set of varieties in the third year of a second trial. But it would appear that where we use the Cycot F1, the resistant variety, we see it a decline with time. Repeated use of the resistant variety, declining incidence of, and that's based on incidence in the variety plus bioassays using a susceptible variety. However, that's with Cycot F1, which is our most resistant variety. With the Cycot 189 type things, which is basically our standard with a resistance of 100, with those varieties, we see a continued build up. With all simple varieties, we're seeing continued build up with the most resistant variety. And the Cycot F1 is derived from an Indian MCU5 background. So it's got a declining yield, poor yield potential, but certainly repeated use would indicate that we'll see a decline in pathogen inoculum in the soil. And a curse to farmers who change the row spacing on their gear. Yes, Bob.
These resistant varieties are truly resistant, not just tolerant.
True resistance. Tolerance to me is gets the disease and isn't affected to the same extent. So these are resistant varieties. They don't get the disease. Much lower incidence in these varieties, rather than the similar incidence and better for yield. Yeah. I have a thing about resistance and tolerance. I mean, we sometimes get mixed up with tolerance, but it's resistance. We very seldom see tolerance.
Thank you.